grip on the pistol was growing alarmingly warm inside Len's hand. "Kill him, Lenny!" Gale shouted. "Kill! Kill!" Feeling preternaturally calm, Len took aim at the lad's head and squeezed the trigger, once, twice. The first punched Yuri's nose into his skull, ripping through his brain. He sucked air in, warbling frantically. Blood and gore slurped out of the hole. The second shot caught the right side of his temple, driving splinters of bone into the wood behind like a flight of Stone Age darts. His feet began to drum on the deck. Len was seeing it through a cold mist. The punished, mutilated body just refused to give up. He yelled a wordless curse, finger tugging back again and again. The pistol was clicking uselessly, its magazine empty. He blinked, trying to pull the world back into focus. Yuri had finally fallen still. There was very little left of his head. Len turned aside, grasping the side of the basin for support, as a flush of nausea travelled through him. Gale was whimpering softly, a hand stroking the terrible blisters and long blackened burn marks that mottled her shoulder. He went over and cradled her head with a tenderness he hadn't shown in years. "Get us out of here," she pleaded. "Please, Lenny!" "Darcy and Laurie." "Us, Lenny! Get us out of here! You don't think they're going to live through tonight, do you?" He licked his lips, making up his mind. "No." He brought her the first aid kit and applied a small anesthetic patch to her shoulder. She let out a blissful little sigh as it discharged. "You go start the engines," she said. "I'll see to this. I never held you back yet." She started to rummage through the kit box, hunting for a medical pneumonic package. Len went out onto the deck and untied the silicon fiber cables mooring the Coogan, slinging the ends over the side. They were expensive and hard to come by, but it would take another quarter of an hour if he went stumbling round the banks, coiling them all up properly. The furnace was quite cool, but the electron matrix crystals had enough power to take the Coogan an easy 70 kilometers downstream before they were drained. He started the motors, shoving the trader boat out from under the lacework awning of cut branches, veiling it from casual eyes. "As if there were any of those left on the river," he mused. Getting underway was a miraculous morale booster. Alone on the lively Zamjan, amid the first tinges of dawn's grey light, he could almost believe they were trading again. Simple times, watching the wheelhouse's basic instrumentation and enjoying the prospect of milking another batch of dumb dreamers at the next village. He even managed to keep his mind from the macabre corpse in the galley. They had gone 6 kilometers, almost due west, helped by the broad river's swift current, when Len saw two dark smudges on the water up ahead. Swithland and Heisel were steaming towards him. A great cleft had been made in the Swithland's prow, and the superstructure was leaning over at a hellish angle, but neither seemed to be affecting her speed. The short-range radio block beside the forward sweep mass detector let out a bleep. Then the general contact band came on. "Hi there, Captain Buchanan. This is Heisel. Reduce speed and prepare to come alongside." Len ignored it. He steered a couple of degrees to starboard. The two paddle boats altered course to match, blocking him. "Come on, Buchanan, what do you hope to gain? That pitiful little boat can't outrace us. One way or the other, you're coming on board. Now heave to." Len thought of the burns the lad had inflicted with his bare hand, the flickering lighting panel. It was all way beyond anything he could hope to understand or resolve. There was no going back to life as it had been, not now, and in the main it had been a good life. He increased the power to the motors and held the course steady, aiming for the Heisel's growing prow. With a bit of luck, Gale would never know. He was still standing resolutely behind the Coogan's wheel when the two boats collided. The Heisel, with its greater bulk and stalwart hull, rolled the impact easily, smashing the flimsy Coogan apart like so much kindling and sucking the debris below its hull in a riot of bubbles. Various chunks of wood and plastic bobbled about in the paddle boat's wake, spinning in the turbulent water. Thick black oil patches welled up among them. The current slowly pushed the scraps of wreckage downriver, dispersing them over a wide area.